Hey, this is Matt from Comixology. This week we have Mucktuck Wolf's Breath writer Terry Labaine. Terry is a seasoned cartoonist with syndicated work in newspapers, as well as being known for his earlier work, Cud, and his daily strip, Edge City. Not only is Mucktuck a hard-boiled shaman, but the book is a unique mashup of Siberian mythology and classic detective fiction. Enjoy. So let's set the stage. 1992, Chicago's Field Museum.
Yeah.
You came up with an idea for the book we're talking about today. How did that day come to be? What was that moment like for you? Was it magic?
You know, it kind of was, because it was such a cool exhibit. The Field Museum had just opened a new addition to their already extensive Native American collection. And they had this whole back room that they'd done, and the emphasis was on sort of Northwest Coast culture, but particularly it was about shamanism as practiced in that area. And they had these – it was like kind of – I'm sure it's still up. It was dim. The room was dim, and as you approached the cases where the stuff was, this light would slowly come up. And you've probably seen this in the museums before, and they do it so that – the stuff doesn't get damaged, you know. It's not just dramatic. It actually has a practical purpose. But so I'm wandering through there, and I'm looking at all this shaman-y stuff, and I was familiar with shamans, sort of. Like, I would see their pictures in ethnographic books, and I thought they were cool. But I had kind of this revelation. Like, I had sort of heard this sort of narration going on in my head, this sort of Dashiell Hammett voice, you know, saying, you know, I woke up in this tent. You know, the mushrooms are still pounding in my head, and I had this realization that shamans were a lot like detectives in a lot of ways. And isn't that like a cool idea? So I went home and I wrote it in my sketchbook, and I did the first Mucktuck Wolf's Breath story in my comic Cud number, the first Cud number one for Fantagraphics books.
Yeah. And in my head, I'd read about, you know, some of the books coming through Submit, and I saw yours, and I thought, like, wow, this is cool. So, you know, a web comic that is transitioning to Submit in our app. But you have a long history with the character, and it kind of, like, surprised me that even at one point, and it, you know, the character appeared in Cud, but you actually had, like, a three-issue miniseries with Vertigo. What was that like?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I was kind of – I'll tell you, I had done some writing for Vertigo, and I wanted to do – my ambition was to get a monthly series with Vertigo at the time. And I had done a lot of – not a lot, but several creator-owned miniseries, and I wrote the first story arc to The Dreaming right after The Sandman ended in 1996, which was like my highest profile thing. But I'd given all these ideas to Karen, and all of them got shot down, and I really wanted to do a monthly series. So I thought I'd try – I wasn't doing anything with Mucktuck Wolf's Breath, and everybody always really liked the character. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, maybe this would work. And I knew that DC would sort of take control of it, but since I didn't figure I was going to do anything else with it, I thought, well, you know, if it turns into something great, and if it doesn't, then – excuse me, I'm willing to let the character go. So I made the proposal, and they did it, and we did a three-issue miniseries to start, and, you know, the sales just weren't enough for them to go to monthly. But it was kind of – I mean, it was weird because it was another artist, and
right.
I think Steve Parkhouse did a good job. But, you know, it felt – it was definitely strange, and I'd done a lot of comic writing before where I didn't draw it. That's how I started out. So that I was sort of used to, but to see my character interpreted by somebody else was strange.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it came out pretty well for all that.
How did you move then? Because I was curious to know the process from, you know, you have the Vertigo Mini, and then eventually you start a kind of like a web serial with the character.
Yeah.
And, you know, what moved you to that point? Because, and I want to get to it in a little bit, the art style, you know, seeing from the early Cud work to now, it feels like it keeps the essence of the character, but it feels totally different too.
Yeah. Well, you know, Well, first of all, what happened was I went back to school and I decided to go to grad school just because I needed to shake up my life a little bit. And I got this a degree in digital design at Philadelphia University. It's a local university. And I had to do a capstone project. And I was really interested in the whole webcomics thing and how that was working and just the whole notion of how people are putting out their work now on the web and that whole realm. And I hadn't really done it. I had some experience with it. But I decided to try and actually do, you know, a graphic novel on the web. And what am I going to do? I had to think of something fairly quickly. And then something happened right when this was happening. A very strange thing happened.
On the way to the forum?
Out of the blue, I get an email from this guy asking if the film rights to Muktuk Wolf's Breath were available.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
Now, nobody had ever – I mean, it had been 14 years since the DC miniseries came out, and that was the last time I ever did anything with Muktuk Wolf's Breath. So at first I thought it was like kind of a, you know, whatever. I wrote him back. I said no, but I mean it was tied up with DC still and blah, blah, blah. Well, this guy ends up calling me, and it turns out that he works for Jack Black, and he's like – he's worked with Dan Klaus, and you know, he threw a bunch of names around. And
they all do.
Yeah, they all do. It doesn't take much to impress me. So, you know, long story short, he wanted to buy the rights, and that was cool with me. But then that was kind of an impetus because I had been turning over a lot of ideas for my capstone project. But when they were interested in the rights, I realized that I could do this webcomic, and if the project went forward, then I'd have something out there that would be attached to it, and there was just all this synergy. So it all sort of came together, and I decided to do a long Muktuk Wolf's Breath story. First, I had to go get all the rights back.
Yeah.
Which was not as hard as I thought it was going to be. Actually,
what's the update on the the movie rights? Was there any movement?
No. What happened was this was 2010, so that was in the. They finally it took us like a year to negotiate this. It was an unbelievable pain in the ass, and I got hooked up with this lawyer from people I knew in the industry. Like I found this lawyer who was willing to do it for a percentage. Right, so I didn't have to pay him. He was like a fancy New York lawyer,
of course,
but got a great deal. And but it took a year to for this to go through. It goes through in June, and in November I get a call from the guy that originally sent me the email saying he's leaving Jack Black. Now I've been around long enough to know when the guy who brings you on leaves, especially when nothing happens, it's like a pretty bad sign.
Right.
A year and a half, the option was for a year and a half, and then they decided not to do it.
We'll know if something shady happened when we see on the big screen Jack Black playing a shaman that gets into trouble.
Well, it was kind of, I mean, they were going to do like it was going to be modern, and this guy was shooting all these ideas. I mean, I was like, okay.
How did you, you know, you've been syndicated in newspapers with, you know, strips, but how did the web comic, did you enjoy the web comic model of putting up, you know, various pages and panels, but, you know, more or less pages at that point?
I did. I liked it a lot. And, you know, I was fortunate, you know, to get reviews on some prominent blogs, Scott McCloud and Bleeding Cool and Comic Reporter.
Reporter?
I'm spacing out, yeah. I got some good reviews, so it drove, you know, a fair amount of traffic to my site. And, you know, and then I started to have, like, a relationship with various people. And the deadlines were hard. The hardest thing was that I wasn't making any money, and so it was kind of coming out of all my other time. But, you know, I was doing it not just to do it. I was also doing it, you know, to get a degree, so I got my degree. So that was, you know, I figured if nothing else happened, that would be a positive outcome.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. Yeah, that's a rare thing. Like, if trying to think of, like, other web comics that, you know, actively put up a lot of content, but if that was the end goal, I think that's the first time I've heard of that.
Yeah, it might. I mean, it was kind of a, like I say, I mean, I'm a certain, you know, I have a certain history and whatever, but yeah, I liked it a lot. But you know, to do it without, I mean, at this point in my life, to do it without, you know, getting any money for it at all was that was the toughest thing, I think.
No, I really enjoyed it. I read it ahead of time, and I think it's one of the best ones that we have in Submit. And
I do,
and I love books that are kind of formatted for the device. I'm like a heavy digital reader, but you know, it comes from that webcomic format that you have, and it formats like almost perfectly for the iPad.
Yeah, I based the comic actually on Sin Titolo. Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh yeah, from Cameron Stewart.
Yeah.
And I looked at his comic a lot, and I used like his dimensions and stuff. What I found was that the dimensions looked great on the web, and they look great on an iPad. They don't look so great in print, and it caused me some problems when I did a print version.
Right.
Those
are the books that stick out of the bookshelf at the bookstore. That's how you get noticed.
I had
really
the square.
Oh, the square books. Like the Garfield. Square.
Garfield was widescreen when I used to get it when I was younger.
Yeah, but yeah, you know what? I had a square, but it was still like I had space at the bottom.
Okay, gotcha.
Uh-huh.
Like a little graphic.
Yeah.
You cheated, yeah. Speaking of your web comics, you do another book or another comic called Edge City.
Yes, it's on the Syndicated Cartoonist.
Yes.
11 years now.
Wow, 11 years. Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm actually like reading it right now as we're talking a little bit. I'm looking through the past. It looks like there's a knitting storyline going on right now.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird story. Yeah, one of the characters is the mother of the – it's a family strip. So the mother of the dad is like an old 60s radical, and she's always trying to find like – radical activities to do. So this particular storyline, she's hooked up with a yarn, like they call it, you know, one of those people that put knitting on like lampposts and things.
So, wait, is that a thing?
Yeah, it's yarn storming, it's called
yarn
yarn bomb, you know, it's called yarn bombing, but I had to change. I actually called it yarn bombing, but after Boston happened, they made me go and change.
Yeah,
like,
well, I think yarn storming is like the it's great.
Yeah, I know.
That's like the best thing ever. I mean, well, in Iowa, like our only football team was like the Barnstormers. So.
It feels like something that like, you know, just elderly women do to cause mischief.
She does all kinds of things. She built an ark to protest global warming. And then we did an Occupy story with her.
Jeez.
We did.
She's involved.
She gets in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
Zany old ladies. I think there's not enough zany old lady books out there.
I think we just picked the next webcomic there. So Terry, what do you find yourself reading in your spare time?
I read a lot of history mostly. Right now, I'm reading a book called The Feud. It's about the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Oh yeah, I forget about them when I'm not watching Looney Tune cartoons.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they just had that miniseries last year, but
that's right on
a History Channel. But Hillbillies intrigue me, anyways. So. I've actually been reading a lot about the transatlantic slave trade.
Really?
Whoa.
For some reason. Well, I have a little project in mind, but I don't want to talk about that anymore. And the last book I read was called The Fall of the House of Dixie, about how the end of slavery in the South during the Civil War. Really interesting book.
Hmm.
That sounds good.
The New Yorker a lot. I read that every week.
You're a comic book anthropologist.
I'm an obsessive reader of nonfiction.
We should come up with like a genre for it. Comthropology.
I don't know how many there are. There's a few.
Yeah. Hmm.
Oh yeah.
Caligula. You know, there's an Avatar book called Caligula. It's about Caligula.
Is it about is it
really?
Like a movie?
I mean, it's violent and full of like raunchy
well,
sex, but it's about. But that's
true to history.
Yeah, it's true to history.
That's what happened back then.
Yeah.
I read it in a book.
Well, it's Caligula. Caligula was like, yeah.
What a way to end the show talking about Caligula.
I know.
You read 300, right? So.
That's
yeah,
right.
That's true history. Everything
that's real life,
bro.
Terry, I really enjoyed the book. I hope everybody checks it out. It's a lot of fun, and it fits great on iPads or, you know, iPhones, what have you. But thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.